Last year, I had an opportunity to be in what is called a resolution committee of Texas Baptist Convention that we are part of. And it was interesting. It's boring, but it's interesting. What it is they find issues that are happening in our convention or in our society, and they want to resolve to do something or make some statements about it. So most of the resolutions are, you know, just little here and there, no one cares. But they did have one that was interesting, and we actually debated quite a time before we actually made a resolution, and it was about plagiarism. Now, with the internet booming and the things that happen, you know, if you're a student in a university, anytime you turn in a paper, you know what they have to do with it. There's some programs out there that they have to literally check your paper to make sure that you didn't plagiarize it, because that's what students do. They're doing that. In fact, when I was teaching in a seminary up north, we had a number of issues with students literally plagiarizing straight out papers that someone else wrote and handed it in. And it was bad. We had to fail some students who did that. And they would come and they would apologize. They would say, you know, this isn't a seminary now. They did that. So anyway, we went through this resolution committee and we made a resolution that we as Christians, we as people of God, should not plagiarize. You would think that that would be obvious, right? But nevertheless, we did. Now, resolutions are like that. You know, you see a situation, you want to change it, you resolve to make it better. So I don't know if you made any resolution this year. The number one resolution I think people are making this year is that they resolve to follow through with last year's resolutions. I think that is the number one one. So you look at yourself, you say, I'm a bit overweight, I resolve to lose some weight. That's one of the top resolutions. Or, you know, you want to, you know, improve your mind a little bit, so you want to read some more books. Or you want to not be addicted to certain things you shouldn't be, and I'm not going to do that anymore. Those are the typical resolutions. But can I suggest to you today that if you're going to make any resolutions at all, and maybe every single year, and maybe more often than that, that you will go to this passage that we just read and see what kind of resolution the Apostle Paul made. And I believe he did. Now remember, this is not a young man at this point. Paul was quite old. In fact, he's close to death. He will be executed just, you know, not too long from the time he wrote this. So he's an older man. He's already lived out a lot of his life, so it's not like you're making resolutions because you haven't done it. But nevertheless, if you read that passage, you can sense and feel that he still has these resolutions left in him, and he wants to do them. So on a first week of the year, I want to just share with you some thoughts here for you to think about. This is an active message, all right? This is something I hope you will go back. And I hope that you do that every week, but especially this one. To go back home later on and think it through a little bit. And see if you can make some choices that will make a huge difference in your life. First of all, I want to begin by talking about what I don't want and what Paul didn't want. He didn't want anything that's cherished by the world. You know, he listed a bunch of things down. In fact, if you had a person like Paul, he would be probably a real high up, maybe a politician, a celebrity today. You know, everything that a person could want, at least in those days, he had. He accomplished it. And in fact, if you ask and just summarize the main things that this world would wish that a person would have, in other words, telling you what you want or what you need, there are basically four categories. See if that doesn't fit some of the things that you are thinking about. The first category would be riches, or just possessions, you know? You turn on the television, there's all kinds of things that they want you to have, and if you had these things, you would be a better person. If you had these things, you'll be a happier person. That's basically what it is. These are riches, you know? How do you get rich?
How do you make money? In fact, we focus so much on our portfolio. We have the Wall Street there going at you. We have all these business possibilities, you know? You don't have to go very far on a radio station. If you listen to some news or something and a commercial comes out and tells you how you can sell real estate with no money or something like that. On and on and on. There's always these opportunities for you to get rich. In fact, so much of our lives are based on that. Even young people, we go to school. Why do we go to school? Because we want to get an education? Yes. It's good to know things, you know, to have your mind educated and so forth. But a lot of our schools are based upon what you will do afterward so that you can what? Get rich. So that you can have a career. So you can do well in your life. And you say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. No, there's nothing wrong with that. But nevertheless, this is what the world cherishes. Because if you have things, well, you're a better person. You're a happier person. The second area may not be exactly what everybody wants, but we kind of think about it, is fame. Fame is a big deal. You know, who doesn't want to be the queen of the prom? You know, who doesn't want to be the star player in the football team? Who doesn't want this and that? You know, you want your name up there. Somehow you say, well, not me, not me, not me. But still, nevertheless, you'd like to have some awards. You want to be valedictorian. You want these kinds of things. And what does it matter if you had a 4.0 or 4.0 or 3.95? What does it really matter? You're probably still getting to school. But no, it's not the same. Fame is important for a lot of people. They do a lot to get that, to have, you know, the name on a billboard or something. How many people today or running to New York or California because they want to be that famous actress or that wonderful theatrical actor there? That's what the world says, you know? And Paul had it. He was famous. He had his name there. He was the top dog there. Well, third thing, you know, that the world tells you you need to have, and some people resolve to have that, is pleasure. Pleasure, you know? You want to have a lot of fun. Why not? Life is about that, you know? Why go through life not having fun? So we want to party. The partying scene is a big deal. I see that here, too, in Houston, but I certainly saw it in New York. You go there to Manhattan, I'm telling you, 11 o'clock at night, the lines are all around the corner, you know, for every bar, every places of interest and clubs that are there. Even Christians did that. I had to speak to my youth group one time, or actually my college group, because after our fellowship and prayer meeting, together, they said, we're going to meet you in such and such place at 11 o'clock. I said, where are you guys going? And they told me they were going to a club. I said, really? Yeah, we're meeting with the Baptist church going there too. You know, there were a couple churches in the fellowship group going. So the Baptists weren't devoid of that. I'm our church and the Baptist church together. They joined. There must have been maybe 50 of them going there. I said, really? Is this something you really want to do as God's people? After a Christian fellowship, inviting your friends that you brought to our fellowship now to a club. Is that what you want to do? And we had a big talk. A few people didn't like me too much afterwards. But I told them, as God's people, you want to focus on something else, not just what the world wants for you. Now, the last thing that the world wants to cherish is power. You say, well, I'm a humble guy. No. Nevertheless, you still want power. You know, power to control your life, maybe. Power to control your family. Whatever it is, power. So you know, there's some crazy people, maybe some politicians that really want power. You know, they big-time power. And some of them may be saying, well, I want power to help people. Maybe. But that's something that the world would tell you want to have. Paul had all these things. He had every bit of it. And that's why when we talk about resolution, I want you to look at this passage and read and sense and feel his heart about these things. He said, I don't want any of this stuff. In fact, he says, they're just garbage to me. Really? You spend your whole life trying to attain these things. That's what we do. We spend the bulk of our day, the best time, so that we can have these things. Well, the second thought that's important for us to know is this. I don't want to focus on myself. If you're going to make a resolution, don't focus on yourself. It's not all about me. That's hard, you know, that's really hard to think about because life is around me. That's how we live. We as a person, you know, a sinful person living in this world, who's it about? It's not about me and everything about me. I have a good friend of mine. He says something to me, and that was really important. I hope you guys can get this. It's a mechanism, he says. You know, when I talk to somebody on the telephone, he says, I make sure I always do this. He says, in the process of my conversation, I will always say to him, how are you doing? Tell me about your family. See, it doesn't matter what he's talking about. You know, he says, it can go through on and on, all kinds of things, but he will always put that in. You know what that does? That stops the conversation from yourself and places it into the other person. It's like, I care about you. You know, this conversation is not only about me, it's about you. How many people have you talked with that at the end of the conversation, you realize, oh, that person didn't care anything about me. Just talked about himself the whole time, right? Have you talked to some people, and it doesn't matter what topic you bring it up to, it eventually goes back to that person's life. Oh, yeah, I remember that, and blah, 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 blah. And you say something, oh, I know that. Because, you see, we have a real tendency that everything is about me. We're very selfish people. You know, it's not like a bad person. It's just who we are. That's how we are as sinful people. It's all about me. You know? When God asked Cain, where's your brother? He says, I'm not my brother's keeper. You know, why are you asking me that? You know, it's all about me. You know, I care about myself. I don't care about him. Well, how do I know what's happening to him? You ask him. That's kind of what we do. I love it that the Apostle Paul says, all those things that I got for myself, all those things that will prop me up, all those things. And he says, I consider, in another version, it says, I count them as garbage. As, well, you know, dung, he calls it. It is not anything of any value at all. It's not about me. Life cannot be about you if you want a phenomenal life. God didn't make us that way. We're not creatures that are meant to just protect ourselves, to defend ourselves, to better ourselves. That's not who we are. And when we do that, we are going to end up year after year, something was wrong last year. It wasn't a happy year. I got to make a new resolution. I got to make something better of it. No, no, no. You have focused on the wrong thing. And that's what the Apostle Paul said. So on this New Year resolution, let me encourage you to do what Paul did. To make resolutions that will center around a relationship. I love it. I love what he said. I know it's a passage you guys have read so many times. I preached it on it, many sermons. I've done a whole series on this chapter, you know. But it's simple. It's there. It's always there. There's nothing complicated. He begins by saying, I want to know Christ. It is about a relationship. You know, if I had to make a resolution for this year, what is that resolution? I want to know Christ. I want to better that relationship. It's not about knowing about Christ. It's not just about reading about him or discovering about him. Now, I want to know Christ. I want that relationship. If you're a husband and wife, and you have a relationship with each other, obviously, he said, I want to make my marriage better. That's what you want to do. I want to know my wife. I want to know my husband. I want to get to know him. I want to relate better with him. That relationship, I want to do whatever it takes to grow that relationship. And the Apostle Paul already probably had one of the best, if not the best, relationship we can think about with the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I want to know Christ. He has resolved to that. What about you? Have you made a resolution that would help you know Christ? Not know about Christ. That too is important. But to know Christ, to relate to him, to discover more of him, to grow that relationship. And then he goes on, he says, and to know the power of the resurrection, to discover that which was so amazing in the life of Jesus, the resurrection power. At no time did Paul say, I want to have more things. At no time did he say, I want to be, you know, known by others more. No, none of that nonsense. He called them all garbage, remember. So I want to know Christ. I want to develop this relationship. I want to discover how this relationship can flourish in a world that is devoid of the power of God. And then he says, I want to partner in his suffering. Oh, that's one area we don't really want. How do you even do that? What does it mean to partner in his suffering? You know, every once in a while, I see somebody on Facebook. You know Facebook. Those of you who are older may not know it too well, but young people know that is. And they decide, I'm going to give up Facebook. At first, I'm not sure what that means. You give up Facebook? They want to suffer a little bit. You know, Facebook has been such an addiction. They want to give it up for a little while. Eventually, they always come back, you know. And next thing you know, oh, someone wants to be your friend again. Huh? Wasn't he my friend? I didn't know I lost him. He gave up Facebook for a while. If you think that's suffering, I want you to know that's not, okay? Just put it out there for you. We're talking about suffering for Christ. I'm not sure we know what that means. You know, it's not, you know, some of the Catholics do that, Lent, they give up meat or something like that. Or they make some choices. No, that's not suffering. Partnering in the suffering of Christ means a whole lot more than that. It means you're putting yourself out there where you will suffer. How many of us want to do that as a resolution? Yes, this year I want to suffer for Christ. All right, what does that mean? We'll talk about that a little bit later. But that's what the Apostle Paul talks about. Now, he can say it because he's in a prison right now stating that. He says, I want to know Christ. I want to develop this relationship even deeper. I want to understand what the power of the resurrection is about. I'm a lot more than I even understand it now. And by the way, I want to partner in my Lord's suffering. He suffered for my sake. I want to partner in that. What does it take? I will do it. You're starting to think, maybe I don't want that kind of resolution. I want to tell you something. These are the kind of resolutions that can change your life, that can change your family, that can change just who you are. Let me share with you some things I've been sensing from the Lord as I pray. I really believe that God is going to do some awesome things in our church this year. And I don't say that every year. I don't. I've been a pastor for over 35 years. I rarely say those things. But I sense that God is going to do something. He's going to do something great in your lives, your life too. You know, there are people I know you have been praying for. Your relatives, your children. Some of them are wayward. You know, some of them have left the church. And it's not like they went to another church. They went to another church and were serving the Lord. That's great. No problem. No, no. They're kind of floating around. You know who they are. Some of you have been praying for your friends and your coworkers. I want you to understand that God is working because you're praying. He's doing some awesome things. And I believe this year there's going to be a combination of a lot of things and in which a lot of lives, a lot of relationships are going to be affected by what God is going to do in a wonderful way. I'm so excited for CBC this year because I believe that God is going to do some great things. Not just because of a church situation, but individually. Barbara and I pray for you guys individually. We pray for your situations as we discover them. We know that God is going to do some great things. And I hope that you will resolve in your life this year to join us in it, to center your resolutions, to center your choices and decision process around a relationship. Do something so that you can discover the Lord deeper. Not just picking up a new book, but do that too. You know, do some podcasting. Hear some thoughts. Spend some more time praying. That's why Barbara does what she does, you know, with this school prayer thing. She's writing and writing and writing. And people opening up every day, just getting a little thought about how to pray better before the Lord and how God is going to do something in your life. Do something like that. Spend more time. You know, in the lunchtime, you say, you know what, I haven't done that before, but I'm going to spend 15 minutes going somewhere after lunch, someplace where I can spend time praying before God and lifting up my family to Him, naming them. Believing in God's going to reach my son. Believing that God is going to reach my mom. I'm going to do that. I'm going to spend some time in which I can just let God speak to my heart about things of this world that I didn't care about before. Maybe I'll focus a little bit, you know, about my coworkers. You know, they're talking about these things. Maybe I'll focus a little bit about these Muslims that have come into my neighborhood. Maybe I'll focus a little bit about that, you know, Planned Parenthood across the street from where I work, where the women are going. Maybe I'll focus a little bit about that. I'm going to spend some time asking the Lord, how can I grow in that? You know, I've never seen the Lord do anything massive, great, miraculous. You know what? This year, I'm going to believe that God would do that, because the power of the resurrection is not just power through money or power through numbers or power through that. It is the power of the resurrection, something that no one can do but God. I'm going to trust God in the miraculous things, something impossible. Make some resolutions like that. And then you say, well, how do I partner in his suffering? Maybe I'm going to go somewhere this year. Maybe I'll go to Somalia, Ethiopia, Nigeria. Go somewhere, go to their churches and feel their pain as they suffer through the persecution that happened. Maybe I can go there to an orphanage somewhere in Eastern Europe or South America. Maybe I'll make a choice to go on a mission trip, to go to places where my goodness, they don't even have food to eat the next day. And I can feel a little bit of some of the suffering that they go through. And perhaps some of you are even braver. Go to a Muslim country, go to their churches, and hear the stories of how they suffer because they are believers and they will not renounce Jesus. You see, those are ways in which you can change your life. This year, make resolutions that will center around a relationship. Sure, lose the weight. Sure, make choices that will stop you from eating too much chocolate or other addictions. But they're not important, not when it compares to a relationship with Jesus Christ. So let me encourage you to go home. Pull this passage out. Read it and feel it. Feel what Paul is saying. Feel it. Feel his heart. Say, I want to do that. I want to know Christ this year so much better. I want to know of his power, the power of the resurrection. To do that, which is impossible, when it's done, no one can say they did it. I can always say God did it. And you know what? Lord, give me a possibility. Bring me to a circumstance in which I can partner with your suffering. And if you did that, next year, Lord willing, if he tarries, you're going to be excited about what happened in 2016. Would you pray with me? Gracious Lord, thank you so much for the possibilities. Simply because you have allowed us to be alive this year. Lord, the possibilities are great. Would you use each and every person here, Lord, in such a way that your name will be glorified? That after this year is done, if you still tarries, we would have known that we lived a life that was praising to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.